What's up, everybody? It's Megan and Sim here today, and we are going to be chatting about how to slay your spending. And we've got 20 tips for jingling your budget bells for today, because guess what? Holidays are actually coming up. This is going to go live kind of towards the end of October. So we're getting really close to November, where Thanksgiving is, and lots of travel typically happens. And then, of course, the end of the year holidays, Christmas, New Year's, just end of the year activities. I'm so excited because I'm very interested in being frugal and budgeting. Of course, I'm the budget queen here. And I know, Sim, you are excited about this too, because you do a lot of DIY stuff typically, right?
I do a lot of DIYs. I work with a lot of DIYers. And just as an aside, Megan, I think you slayed with that title. Ha ha ha.
Jingle your budget bells. Yep. We're going to be jingling this whole conversation.
So why don't you kick us off, Megan? We have a lot of tips to go over today.
Yeah, we've got lots of tips. So just to kind of bring it back down. So these are going to be tips for how to prep for the holidays ahead, prep your money, prep your budget, prep your mentality as well. It's kind of funny. Like, even you said this in one of our episodes recently about how, like, holidays do tend to be more expensive months, and people sometimes get surprised by it. And what do you say? You're like, is it a surprise that Christmas is every
year? It's never a surprise. The holidays happen every year, more or less the same time. It's not always, I know Hanukkah changes a little bit, but like, it happens, right? You're looking at someone's cash flow and they're like, no, well, don't count December. December was an odd month. I'm like, but December happens every year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Happens every year. So like, I think these tips that we've got, they're going to be proactive in the sense of like proactive leading up for the next 2 months, but also things that you could probably implement over the course of the year. Now kind of thinking through these things that can maybe set you up for success next year and years to come as well. So let's kick it off. 20 is a lot. I had a lot of fun putting this list together. So number one, probably the most obvious and the most boring, then we'll get into the fun stuff, is setting a holiday budget early. So you really need to decide how much you can realistically be spending on gifts, on travel, on meals, entertainment, the things that come along with the holiday season. So that could be just taking a moment to figure out, okay, you know, I typically save X amount per month, or I typically spend, you know, X amount per month. What can I siphon aside? You know, what can I pull off to the side to dedicate to the holidays, and start to get an idea of what that number is and stick to it? It's really easy to not stick to it, but we're going to talk about ways that we can help with that coming up. What's next?
Okay. This tip is one that I actually used to do for a very long time. And then in some ways I still do it. But once you've done part one, which is figuring out what your actual spending amount is, create a fund dedicated to that. So if you have like online banking, you can do this at like Ally or Capital One. They let you set up an obscene amount of savings accounts. I think they let you do like up to 25. And ask me I know. Ask me how I know. I think at my absolute worst, I had like 20, and I'm not quite anal anymore.
Sim.
Yes, I've pared down. I think I'm down to like maybe like 7 or 8 now.
Nice.
So cut back. But good have job. One that is just dedicated to like the holidays, right? So if you know, for example, like your budget is $500 for the holidays, save for that throughout the year. And you don't have to be like down to the penny, $41.67 a month, around, you know, 45 a month, but whatever it is, figure out, okay, that's equivalent to 45 a month. And so every month, put $45 a month into that fund. And so when the holidays come, you have $500 ready to use for your disposal.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I think some banks, I think Ally, or there's a couple other places that like you have one account, but it lets you in the app like separate the funds.
Yeah, you can set up like buckets within.
Yes, buckets within. So that could be a great way to do this as well. But yeah, automating the savings could be super helpful. Just make it a bill in the cash flow.
As an aside, I do this with like non-recurring things like travel. Figure out your travel budget or other big things. Maybe you're really big on like birthdays and anniversaries. Have a fund for that, whatever your thing is.
Yep. I think that's a great tip. And I forgot to mention this first section, we've got 8 tips that are more so related to budget. And that's what we're starting with. And then the next section is going to be more about shopping tips. And then the final section, as we get to our 20 tips, is going to be getting crafty and frugal. So these are all about like budgeting and money first, and then we'll get into some of the other creative stuff. But number 3, prioritizing expenses. Go ahead and rank these holiday expenses by importance, because we talked about at the beginning, setting a budget, starting to save for that. Inevitably, something comes up. where you didn't expect to have to spend that money, or something is a little more expensive than you thought, whatever the scenario. So you need to get grounded with just what is the highest priority things to you during this season, and rank them to where, like, the lower priority items, like maybe you had on the list that you were going to get everyone in your office a gift for the holidays, but then, like, you didn't expect your plane ticket to be an extra $500 to travel to go see your parents. Like, whatever the scenario is, have that lower hanging fruit on the list. And if you need to cut it, you got to cut it. That's what we got to do to stay within our budget. So prioritizing expenses.
Totally fair. Let's talk about cutting back on non-essential spending. So maybe you haven't had a chance to implement some of our tips yet. And so now we're in October and you're like, okay, well, dang it. The holidays are coming up real fast. Now might be a good time to start cutting back on what you consider non-essential, maybe like eating out. Don't eat out as much, and then direct those funds that you would have spent eating out on your holiday. Now that you're going to listen to this podcast, you're going to go out and open a holiday fund. And so you're going to take that $50 you would have spent going out, and now you're going to put it in your holiday fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great way. This is a good budgeting tip anyways. Like, if you're ever finding yourself in a tight spot or like a really expensive month, to kind of catch back up, you can really cut out those non-essential things to help you like build that back up or build up that reserve. All right, number five, use cash or a prepaid card. So this is kind of like the cash envelope system. If you have ever listened to Ramsey or to other like budgeting methods where you basically take out in cash how much you're trying to spend that month or that week or whatever time period, and you use the cash to spend on those discretionary things. And then once that's done, it's done. Like, you're out of cash. You're literally out of cash. You can't use a credit card to keep going up on your available credit. This could be done with cash or with a prepaid card, because a lot of places don't even accept cash anymore, definitely since COVID. So this could be a really easy way to keep yourself within kind of that parameter that you've already set for yourself, because it's pretty embarrassing to go to the register and you only have X amount of cash in your envelope, or you've only got X amount of dollars on that prepaid card and it gets declined, or you're over that amount. Then you got to start putting stuff back. Like, so that's a great way to keep you in line, to save yourself the embarrassment of not going over the budget.
Yeah, a little accountability. This one I love: redeem credit card points or rewards. You can do like a whole podcast just talking about churning and maxing those credit card benefits. But if you use like a cash back card, if you use points so you can travel, that can be a great use of those rewards, is to use them for the holidays. I personally love cash back cards because I haven't had a chance to travel as much with my kiddos. And so find a good cash back card for you. Read the fine print. Some of them give you like a flat cash back. You know, some cards are like 1.5% back on everything. Some cards will give you like, you know, 5% back on like groceries and dining out, but they'll cap it up to like a certain dollar amount a year. So it does pay to shop around, but you can take those points and then use it to cover some of those expenses without it impacting your cash flow at all. But I will add, that does not mean that you should spend your card just to get points. Don't spend money that you wouldn't have already spent.
Correct. Yes. Some credit card companies too, they've got, like, I know Chase, they have a cashback card, rewards card, but they also have like a travel center where you can go and like book your travel through the center that it provides, and you get some kind of discount as well. I always compare, because sometimes it's not that good of a discount and maybe it's better to purchase elsewhere. But I did actually spend some money on travel through the travel portal last year that ended up being a little cheaper to do it through the credit card.
And I know with some of the travel points too, they talk, like, the pros who do this, they talk about like, don't do it always within the portal. Like, there's like an Amex travel center, transfer the points elsewhere to like a participating partner. And sometimes you get a better deal that way. You can get like more miles for your buck.
Yeah. So spend a little time to do a little playing around with that, and that can help you save some money. Next up, number seven, we've got planning travel early. Try to book holiday travel as early as possible to lock in better rates, not the surge rates that happen the closer and closer we get.
Price gouging.
Yeah, price gouging. You can also set up alerts, I think through Google, but also through a couple different websites on tracking flight prices. Like, if you think it could potentially dip, or if you want to make sure that if it's rising, that you go ahead and book it at that time. Definitely something to do also just for availability purposes. Like, rental cars, sometimes they can literally sell out and you have to like find something off the airport property where it's a little bit more money to have to get an Uber to drive there to go get the car. So just book things earlier so you don't have to deal with some of the surge pricing or the surprises that come with maybe, you know, last minute reservations. That can help save some money along the way.
And then let's talk about planning for those hidden costs. Everything, I feel like there's always a hidden cost, like something you forgot about. So it can be things like gift wrap. Like you bought the gift, you remember, hey, I need to budget this much for the gift, but then the wrapping paper and whatever else that goes with it. Shipping fees, which also can go up a lot during the holidays, more price gouging, as I'll call it. Utilities, right? You're probably going to spend more on your electric bill just trying to heat up your house. That's something to kind of account for. I kind of like to do the same method we were talking about, like figure out what your spend is going to be and then planning for it throughout the year. Same thing with these, right? Figure out what you're going to spend maybe on your electric bill. I used to do this. I would go back. I would like log into like the portal, like online, just to see like what my previous years, you know, spending was on those things. And then just I would factor it into my cash flow plan.
Yeah, that's a good tip because you can typically go and look at usage in prior months. That can help you like get a gauge on, you know, okay, well, I'm going to have a similar like engagement this year. I'm going to have family at the house for a couple days or for a week. What was my water bill that month? What was my electric bill that month? How different was it? So this is kind of like emergency savings for some of these things that we're already talking about, like for holiday spending. So emergency savings for that holiday spending.
One of my friends is notorious for taking like 45-minute showers. When she was 45 wow. minutes and I'm like, it's none of my business. I'm like, are you having like a yoga session? Like, what are we doing?
I can't even sit in the bathtub for 45 minutes, I don't think.
You do you, but yeah, plan for it.
All right. Next up. So just to kind of recap though, let's back up. In the budget category, tips for just prepping for the holiday season. Number one is setting a holiday budget. Number two is creating a holiday savings fund. Number three is prioritizing expenses. Four is cutting back on non-essential spending. Five is using cash or prepaid card, like an envelope system. Six is redeeming credit card points or rewards. Seven is planning travel early. And eight is planning for hidden costs. So that's the budget category of our tips. Let's get into shopping tips. I think these are kind of fun. We've got, I think, six of these tips before we get to getting crafty and frugal.
I think this is way more fun to think about.
Well, for sure. Yeah. Boring budget. But here we go with shopping tips. So number one, start shopping early and spread your purchases out over a few months versus the last minute rush and overspending. So again, surge pricing, the closer we get to the holidays, the less you can really do about the pricing at the time because time is of the essence. Funny story, I actually do this for my Halloween candy, as simple and small as that sounds, but our neighborhood is like Halloween town style. Our neighborhood has so many kids. I'm easily out of candy if I don't have bags and bags and bags of it. So that's something that I learned my first year moving into this neighborhood. It's just a really active neighborhood. So I got to get a ton of Halloween candy. And I did. I literally started buying Halloween candy back in August, I think. Just every grocery trip, I'd pick up a bag. Those are not cheap either. They're like $10, $15 a bag. So you got to kind of space it out over time.
I want to do Halloween in your neighborhood, Megan.
Hey, Sim is going to be at my house right before Halloween. So she's going to see my neighbors with the zombies in the yard. She'll see all the Halloween decor. It's going to be a good time.
Maybe I'll bring my outfit. I think I'm going to go as Miss Rachel this year. She is a popular American YouTuber for children, and she has a very high-pitched voice and sings songs, and I have the same headband as her. So I'm like, perfect. All I have to do is buy a pair of overalls.
That is awesome. I think that's fun. And so my husband's name is Kelly. So we're going to be MGK and Megan Fox. Kelly and Megan.
I love. Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
So I've already got like the sticker tattoos for all over his arms and his neck. And he's got like blonde hairspray to spray out his hair. It's going to be a good time. I've got a wig. So that'll be
Speaking of shopping for Halloween costumes, then is maybe tip two that we have, taking advantage of sales and discounts. I certainly love this. And we all know about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And then Amazon has like their special Prime Day, which is really 2 days. Shop around, see if there's any special deals coming up. Maybe it would help if you maybe have like a list ahead of time of things you know that you want to buy. So that can kind of narrow down where you are shopping. There's also some cash back websites. I use one. It's called Honey. I know that there's other like browser extensions you can download. But with those sorts of apps, you know, you can get like a promo code that can be applied when, you know, if you're shopping online and you can get like a certain dollar amount off or a certain percentage. And it also gives you cash back on Honey. So once you reach like a certain threshold, like I think it's like $25 or something, you can have that amount sent to like PayPal or a gift card, whatever you choose. I think cash is king, but you can do what you want with it. I think that's a cool little way to, you know, get some cash back. And then of course, if you're paying with your credit card, which also has cash back, you're kind of double dipping on the cash back, which is yay. So do that. And then for the promo codes, I don't know if anyone else does this, but I'll search Reddit. Like I'll type into Google, like, you know, pick a store that you're shopping at. I did this when I was buying our couch. We got a LoveSack. So LoveSack promo code Reddit. And then of course there's a kind Redditor who had like $100 off. And I'm like, I'll take it. They just like put their code in the chat and it worked.
That's great. Yeah. I also use Honey, and it's a nice little surprise every so often when you go to like cash out. It's a web browser extension. You don't have to really think about it. It finds the codes, plugs in the codes, and then it adds up points too that you can redeem over time for cash back, which is cool. But the Reddit tip is good.
I think if it sounds like for some people, maybe it's a little high maintenance, I would consider maybe for like bigger purchases. If you're going to spend a lot more, that can be really worth it.
Yep. Next up, coupons, coupons, coupons. Oh man, I'm the coupon queen. If I'm the budget queen, I'm also the coupon queen.
I feel like that goes hand in hand.
It really does. I always recommend get invested in your favorite like grocery store or store, whatever store you're shopping at for the most part. Mine here in Georgia is Kroger. I think it goes by a different name in other states, but they have an online app where you could download and save coupons to your like Plus card. And when you check out, you just scan the card and it applies all the coupons. If you get pretty invested in one store for those things that you're always buying, like groceries, for example, which again, groceries for like Thanksgiving coming up and for meals for these holidays typically can be a pretty big expense. So finding those coupons, they typically will send you mailed coupons as well for things that you're typically buying, and cash back deals. Some stores will have cash back opportunities where if you purchase something, you'll get cash back later, and then you could roll that into future purchases. Kroger gives me cash back on gas as well. So that's why I kind of really sunk into Kroger, is they've got gas stations. I think Ingles does too, but that might be a dying breed. Fun story. I used to work at Ingles. That was my first job. I was a cashier at Ingles.
I've never heard of them. Yeah, must be a Southern thing.
Maybe, yeah, it might go by a different name in other states, just like Kroger. I really, really take advantage of all of these things. So take a look at just where you shop. Publix, I know, typically has like BOGO deals like crazy, like really good BOGO deals. You know, Target has the Target point, so the Target circle that you could really start like maximizing.
Guilty.
So are you a Target person?
I do use Target. I am a Target circle, and they get you with like the spend this much on diapers and you get a $15 gift card. And I'm like, I'm going to buy diapers anyway. Let me stock up now because I'm going to use it and get my $15 gift card.
Yeah, I get jazzed about it. Like I get my receipt. What I do, I go to the register. I have all my coupons and everything loaded, but I don't scan my card until the very end. So I like run all my stuff through. And then at the very end, I'll run my like the Scantron or whatever. And I watch it just drop. The price drop all the way down. And I come home and I tell my husband almost every time, like, I saved X amount on my groceries this week.
Megan, you are precious. Don't ever change.
It's really fun. And then like, so other things, just one other like thought or tip is other things could also offer discounts or cash back. So like really look at everything that you spend money on, every store that you go to. This is a kind of an oddball one, but my life insurance policy has a like healthy benefit program where it gives me a QR code for 10% off fresh produce up to like $50 per month, which is pretty cool. And I know health insurance programs sometimes have these things too, like discounts on your gym membership, could be discounts on grocery store food as well, like healthy food at the store. So take a look at what you already have, what you already have to spend money on, and see if there's anything you can really take advantage of there to really cut down on your expenses, because, you know, inflation really hit us hard. So if you're kind of feeling it in the grocery budget, especially, like these are things that you can do to start to work that bill back down.
Yeah, it's going to be really helpful, I think, especially for Thanksgiving for a lot of folks. So I'm definitely going to take advantage of that tip. Our next tip is make a gift list and stick to it. And this one, I think, is so hard for a lot of us because it's like, we all want to be Oprah and you get a gift and you get a gift and it feels really good to give. But then think about, you know, you're kind of borrowing against your future self. So just really prioritize like who absolutely do you think needs to get a gift, and you can have like, you know, almost like tiers, like you got your closer circle and then your outer circle and so on, right? But make a list and really challenge yourself to stick to it. You know, not everyone needs a gift. I know back in the day, it's like, well, what do we have to like tip the mailman? Like, no, you don't need to tip the mailman unless you want to. But yeah, this can, I think, help cut back on impulse buys too. Like, oh, this neighbor would really love this gift. Well, how close are you to that neighbor anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a good tip. Number five would be shop resellers for gifts. So this is definitely something that I kind of stumbled into. There's a company called ThredUp. We're not sponsored or anything like that, but I really love ThredUp. It's an online thrift store basically for clothing. And right now it's just women clothing and children clothing. So not male clothing yet, but it's like an online, they have a really nice online app and you can shop for clothing or accessories like purses, shoes, things like that. And they have a section, you can filter the section to get things with new with tags, like the condition being new with tags. And I totally have gotten gifts off of ThredUp for people that it was a brand new purse that had tags on it. It was in great condition, but it was a fraction of the price of retail. There's also like designer brands on there that will have tags, which is really interesting. But same thing at like local thrift stores. You can oftentimes like flip through the racks and find things with tags on them still because people just, they bought it. They didn't need it or didn't want it after a while. Same with eBay. So take advantage of those things to maybe find really nice gifts, even brand name things, but at a discount because they are already at a reseller.
No one will ever know where you got their gift unless they happen to work in the industry.
Right.
In which case they probably want to pick their own gift. So next tip, I do this too, which is to purchase decor after holidays to maximize your savings. There's going to be extra inventory, usually things that didn't get, you know, people didn't want to buy it. Hanukkah decor, nobody wants to buy that little blue tablecloth and it's like dirt cheap at Target. Now you guys know what I buy. Or like the little, like the turkey, you know, little placeholders, whatever it is for you. Usually it's like dirt cheap and you can get after the holidays. And that's kind of, I think, the time to stock up. It's like Valentine's Day, like all the leftover chocolate goes on sale like February 15th.
Right. And they put it all together for you really nicely. They'll pull it all together in one little section to get rid of it. And you can really pick through that to find a lot of good savings. I did that for our Christmas tree. We have an artificial Christmas tree from like Home Depot, I think. And I got it like right after Christmas, the year we moved into our home. And I got the discounted one. And I didn't quite understand why it was so discounted. And it's because what I've learned now is it's flocked with glitter as well. So it's like fake snow and glitter. So literally every time I pull out that tree now, it's like a glitter bomb. So I think that's why it was discounted extra, extra. People hated the glitter.
A new meaning to the phrase Christmas in July. Christmas all year.
Yeah. All right. Next up. So those are our shopping tips. Quick recap. So number one was start shopping early. Number two, take advantage of sales and discounts. Three was using coupons. Four, make a list and stick to it. Five, shop resellers. And number six, purchase decor after the holidays. So let's get into our final kind of batch, the last six that we've got of our 20 tips. And this will be dealing with getting crafty and being frugal. And actually, I'm going to let you start with this one, number one.
Okay. So consider DIY gifts. These are gifts from the heart. You know, you're putting your love into it. I know, Megan, you talked one year about like those chunky blankets that got really popular. Who doesn't love a chunky blanket? Like it's winter. You live somewhere where you presumably get four seasons. Like I think you can't have too many blankets. I think it's a great gift and it's someone putting their love and labor into it. Yeah, you'll still have some costs, right, for the materials, but it's probably going to be cheaper than like going out and buying someone a blanket. So you can do chunky blankets. You can do like popsicle stick shelves. I think it's really cute when kids like DIY gifts like for their family members too. You can make your own ornaments, lots of stuff you can do, baked goods, you know, of course, plan for the food that you're going to spend, but who doesn't love homemade goods, right? You can like sometimes still see like the steam coming off of it when you give it to someone. I'm just like painting a picture for you instead of like buying, you know, you go to the grocery store and there's like these pack of four, it's stale, you don't know who made it, it's processed, it's in, you know, batch made. Like people, I think, really appreciate the personal touch that you bring to those gifts. And it can just feel really sentimental. Like this was lovingly crafted for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If for the folks that might be on like the lower end of your gift list and also like priorities, if they're kind of on the chopping block of we might not have enough to be able to get them gifts, something like this is a nice, like still a really nice gesture. Like it might not cost you as much, just, you know, maybe the materials, but still something thoughtful that you didn't have to put a ton of money into, but goes to show that, hey, I thought about you over the holidays and I wanted to give you something. So there's tons of like crafts that you could do.
It is so easy to make peppermint bark to give to people.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. Peppermint bark. Oh, my sister did potpourri one year where she dried out a bunch of different spices and fruits. And then she put it in a jar and the instructions are to like put it in with like some water over like your stove and let it simmer. And it smells up your house really nicely. So that was a really inexpensive gift, but like really thoughtful for the holidays to help your house smell nice. So last tip on this one, just because I was thinking about it, I did ornaments where, so we don't use CDs anymore, right? But we did as millennials back in the day. We had that huge book of CDs that we'd pull out when we got in the car.
For our Walkman.
Yeah. Or like for your Walkman or for your car. I had a whole book of those. I didn't need those CDs anymore. So I saw this craft on, I think it was like Pinterest or something. And you can cut up CDs. This sounds like crazy if you were listening to this 20 years ago. But now that you don't really need them, you've got Spotify, you've got other avenues to listen to that music. You can cut up old CDs that you've got laying around and glue them to a glass ornament ball. And it looks really cool how it's like pulled together because it's almost like a mirrored effect, but it's like a mirrored gap. Like, what is it? Mosaic. Mosaic. Yeah, it's like a mirror mosaic ornament. So that was something I did one year where I was like, wow, that was like something I didn't have to pay much for at all because I already had all the CDs to chop up. Okay, so next up, look at free holiday activities. So there's typically lots of free or low cost holiday activities that maybe your community puts on. Walking through holiday light displays or walking through your downtown area, which typically there are lights that are put up in the city, and maybe watching holiday movies at home or attending just a big like community event that's being put on. Our town does quite a bit of them where it's free to go. And of course, they've got vendors there for like food and crafts or things that you can purchase, but it doesn't cost you anything to go and just be in the environment, which is pretty fun.
I feel like I can't have a holiday season without watching Home Alone. That's just like my holiday tradition. And it's free because I have it.
Yeah. Nice.
Next is look before you buy. So if you're like cooking for a lot of people, maybe shop your pantry first. This is how my husband and I ended up with 3 bottles of ketchup in our pantry. Like I make a grocery list and he's like, you have to buy another bottle of ketchup or we need to get more like rosemary. And now we have 5 jars of rosemary. Shop your pantry. See if you have the things that you need first. What are things that you can borrow? Like if you are cooking something that you don't normally cook, do you really need to buy like a big thing of tarragon if you just need a tiny bit? Does your friend have some you can borrow? You don't use tarragon very often in cooking. It's so potent. But if you need it for that one dish, maybe you don't need to buy a whole thing of it.
And materials too. Like if you need a huge like turkey pan or whatever to roast your turkey, maybe you could borrow it from somebody versus going and buying one if you don't have one. Yeah, definitely borrow or shop your pantry, like you said. Number 4, sell unused items. Declutter what you already have. We have been in a pretty materialistic world and economy, nation, whatever you want to call it. We do put value on materials more than maybe other countries, other places. And so you might have a lot of things in your home that you no longer need, no longer use, that you can maybe look at selling. Sell it at a reseller, sell it on eBay, have a garage sale. We literally have a yard sale in our neighborhood this week. So do those things to maybe generate some extra cash and also to free up some space and the mental load of that stuff in your home.
And if you have stuff that you can't sell, you can consider donating it to like, you know, some charity or the Salvation Army. Depending on how much stuff you donate, you may need to get it appraised. But if you itemize on your taxes, you can get a tax write-off for charitable donations.
There you go.
My favorite tip, guys, consider a potluck for holiday meals. I love Friendsgiving because it's like having Thanksgiving twice and everyone gets to bring different things that they make. So you get like a whole plethora of dishes because I just find that, you know, maybe the way that like your sister-in-law makes mashed potatoes is different from how like your bestie makes mashed potatoes. And you just get to do it twice. And then you don't have to do the whole meal by yourself, you know, because I feel like with Thanksgiving, and I keep picking on Thanksgiving, but it's like there's usually one person or, you know, person and spouse, and they like do all of the cooking and someone brings like, here's this little like side dish I made, when really they just like went out and bought it and it doesn't have any love in it. Friendsgiving, amazing, big fan of that. So organize that, and then you don't have to do the whole thing yourself, and you can try different things more than once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great idea. Because food can really add up, and it takes so much time to cook too. If you're doing all of it yourself, you have to start like really early or the day before. So it helps you kind of reduce the cost, but also the time that goes into cooking and might reduce mistakes that might happen.
Yes, that is a great point, because time is also a cost, not just money.
Yeah. All right. And last up, we've got setting expectations with family. So this is kind of giving yourself that like barrier of, hey, this is what I can and cannot do, but also maybe managing gift giving expectations with your family too. There's some fun things you can do where we're still in the spirit of giving gifts, you know, especially for the Christmas holiday, but reducing the expense pretty significantly by, instead of buying everyone in the family a gift, which can be very daunting. Ask me how I know. You could do like a Secret Santa exchange or like a white elephant exchange, a couple different games that you can play where really you're only buying one or a couple gifts. And so is everyone else who's coming, but everyone leaves with a gift. So it really helps manage the costs of buying and purchasing gifts, and kind of the mental load too of having to think about what someone would want. We do this on one side. We do a Secret Santa on one side of my family, where basically we pick a name at Thanksgiving, and that's who we're getting a gift for up to a certain amount. So we usually have some kind of price limit. And then on another side of my family, we do white elephant, which is, hey, go out and get a gift for a man or a woman or, you know, a child. There, we have a child one too. And you can't spend more than X amount of dollars. And then we play a game when we get to the event to have the gift swap around the room, and we fight for the gift. It's a whole ordeal. Yeah.
My hack with those is to get a gift that like I wouldn't mind coming home with. And so sometimes I end up stealing a gift that I brought, which I know is so lame, but I'm like, at least I'll be happy.
It's not lame. I totally, like when I'm gift shopping, I'm totally like, man, I would like this. I want this. So
I feel like this has to be said though, right? Setting expectations with family that there is no wealth like health, which includes your mental health. And so going into the holidays, sometimes you need to set expectations with your family, right? Like we're in an election year, and I know that holidays can be stressful because you have like grandpa yelling about one political issue and grandma's talking about religion. And, you know, you have to decide how much you want to engage in these conversations. You may need to lay down a boundary and say, grandpa, when you say this, I can't engage in this conversation with you. Or you may need to set a bigger boundary. Like, you know what, guys, we're just not going to talk politics at the dinner table. Whatever the boundary is, you may need to set those. If you feel like you can't set those, of course, like I talk a lot about mental health around here, figure out why you can't set those boundaries. Because if you can't set boundaries with your family, you're probably not setting boundaries with yourself. You're maybe burned out at work and saying yes to things you shouldn't be. You're letting people take advantage of you. So set boundaries. And if you have problems doing that, you know, get help. I would say budget for like counseling. I feel like I have to mention it when we're talking about, but like behavioral finance, but also just like expectations with family. So get the help that you need, because you deserve to be well cared for as well. And like I said, there is no wealth like health.
I love it. Yeah. And holidays can be a very like interesting time when you're getting together with family, because you don't see some of your family all the time. There's of course lots of emotions there, relationships there. So
why aren't you married? When are you having kids? Why are you wearing this? Yeah. Do your hair, like, you know, there's like the judginess can sometimes come out, or like the intrusive questions.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever boundaries you need to set.
Well, good. So to recap the last section, getting crafty and frugal. Number one is consider DIY gifts. So things that you can make. Number two, look for free holiday activities. Number three, look before you buy. Shop your pantry first. Number four, sell unused items to gather some extra cash. Number five, consider a potluck for holiday meals. And number six, set expectations with family. That is 20. We got to a lot. If you didn't take something from this, we're doing something wrong.
What are some tips? I want to hear from our listeners. What are some tips that you guys have to save money, to save your peace? Drop them in the comments.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. I hope this helps you put this at the forefront of your mind. It's still some months away, but hey, this is the best time to start planning. Can't say it's a surprise anymore. It may still sneak up on you, but at least you've got some ammo to use to help your budget, help you mentally, help you prepare. Thanks for doing this episode with me, Sim. It was a good time.
As always, stay safe, everyone.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.